us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth. Ties of hope and love, sister and brotherhood.
Our next guest on Downtown is invoking the spirit of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, and others as he makes a walk of over 300 miles over 24 days from the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. to the headquarters of the United Nations in New York. He is the director of the American Kurdish Information Network, and we are pleased to be joined from the road by Connie Zulam. Well, hello, Connie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, last I knew, yesterday, you were in Philadelphia on this journey from the Lincoln Memorial to the United Nations. Where are you today?
I am in downtown Philadelphia now. I was in Havertown yesterday, so I walked about 14 miles to make it to downtown.
So are you? Where are you? About at the halfway point then?
I have walked apparently halfway, yes. A little bit more than that.
Now, have you been dealing with the hot, humid weather on your journey?
The days that have been hot and humid have been difficult. Of the 13 days, I would say five were taxing. The rest were cool and pleasant and truly enjoyable.
Well, I hope for more of those. And have you had a lot of people joining you for parts of that journey? I know you were hoping that some folks would join in along the way and at least participate for a few miles.
The invitation still stands. Some have taken up the invite. I'm asking others to do the same, but I understand people have jobs and summer is not exactly a walking season in Northeast America. But the invite stands. I think towards the end, I'll probably have a few more fellow Kurds, and I'm still hoping for some Americans to join me as well. But so far, it's been less than half a dozen.
Well, you're doing this for quite a good reason. It's obviously to draw attention to both the 100th anniversary of the partitioning of Kurdistan and to address human rights violations as well. And you've said before that you are one of 50 million stateless Kurds.
Correct. In the heart of the Middle East, there's a reality as large as Mount Everest, if you will. The existence of the Kurds and Kurdistan, and yet none of the countries that rule over us accept us. In fact, they want to get rid of us. In Turkey, where I lived until I was 19, the Kurdish language was banned. Even today, it's on a very, very tight leash. There may be close to 200 Turkish television stations in Turkey. There's only one in Kurdish. And that one is fully, fully controlled by the government of Turkey. It might as well be in Turkish. So we're talking about cultural genocide. We're talking about a war on a people by a government and its misguided leaders. And I'm trying to draw attention to it. And UN is a world body. And it's supposed to address the concerns of humanity, including the Kurds, and I'm trying to make an appeal and see where it goes.
Now, if I'm correct, 100 years ago, I think it was the Lausanne Treaty that took care of the partitioning, and am I right that there was no mention made of the Kurds in that treaty?
Correct. You know, when the war unfolded, both President Wilson and the Russian leader, Lenin, both advocated self-determination for subject peoples. Lenin kind of reneged on his promise. The Soviet Union became a prison of nations. But Wilson pushed for it. And unfortunately, when he became ill and couldn't pursue the thoughts of Versailles Treaty that he had tried to implement, a new reality came into existence. And initially, Kurds were promised a mandate status, meaning League of Nations was going to be in charge of it. But then things changed, and both the local powers like Turkey and Iran and the outside powers like France and England decided to partition the Kurdish homeland among themselves and make no reference to the Kurds and Kurdistan. And it's been 100 years. And I'm trying to say this treaty was wrong, was immoral, needs to be trashed, and 50 million Kurds need to be respected and accepted and heard and embraced just like any other human beings that or group of human beings that live on this earth.
We're talking with Connie Zalam, the director of the American Kurdish Information Network. He's in the midst of a more than 300-mile walk that will take 24 days from the Lincoln Memorial to the United Nations. Connie, what is the official position of the United States toward the Kurds?
Unfortunately, the United States has become a status quo hugger. It used to be a revolutionary power. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm paying homage to the likes of Thomas Paine and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and all the other founding fathers, and trying to remind at least the people I come in contact with that, America's right to secede was sacred, revolutionary. It opened the way for representative government around the world, and America should embrace defenseless people like Kurds and support us. There is some relationship between the Kurds in Syria and the U.S. government, but it's military in nature against ISIS. And all I'm asking is the relationship should be also political, and U.S. should say that just like Ukrainians have a right to be on their own, the Kurds should have a right to be on their own. And just like U.S. supports Ukraine, U.S. should consider supporting the Kurds too.
And you have been a proponent for a long time of a peaceful, nonviolent protest. Many years ago, you staged a lengthy hunger strike. And you're doing this in many ways in the spirit of other people who have gone on some important walks, like the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and, of course, Gandhi.
Yes, both are my lodestars. Both are in my thoughts. Both guide me in spirit. I am in Philly. I am heading to New York, and I'm hoping to raise awareness and create a public opinion favoring the Kurds. Freedom is good. It was America has proven it for 247 years, and we are deprived of it. And I have been fortunate to be in this country when I was 19, and I've been here for close to 43 years now. And I've benefited immensely from this freedom. My family has benefited from it, and I want my people to benefit from it too.
And when you speak at the United Nations, obviously you'll ask them to address human rights violations, but also what would seem to be basic human rights, political autonomy, and then the right to a sovereign nation.
That's right. I'm asking Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations, who has discretionary power to appoint a special representative to look into this humanitarian crisis, the fate of 50 million stateless Kurds. I am just one of them. There are millions of others. And this tragedy shouldn't, continue on our watch. We should be better than that. And I'm asking people, to help us to stand up, to get on our feet. This cultural genocide shouldn't occur at the dawn of 21st century.
If people want more information, they can go to the website at Kurdistan.org. And follow your journey as you make your way toward New York City. It's been an honor for us to talk with you today. We appreciate you making time for us on your walk, and we wish you cool temperatures and some support of people walking right along with you as you make your way into the city.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kimball.